Today she is Masech Techul and Daf Kuv Zayin. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Kuv Vav on the base. Two lines from the bottom begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Noitel Adam Eshtei Yadav. A person can wash his hands B'Shachris in the morning as he gets out of bed. U'mas Nalayim, and he could stipulate L'kol Ayom Kula the Disnatila Shadayim should work for the entire day. And this will all be acceptable provided that he is careful to wash his hands and make sure that his hands don't become tame. He washes hands all day. The question is, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that one has to be careful not to be mafsik, not to have any interruption between when he washes his hands and when he eats. And how, therefore, can he just make washing in the morning, apparently when he's washing Nagelwasser, and that should work for all the time that he eats all the day? So some Rishonim are of the opinion that this advice that the Gemara is giving us is only acceptable b'di'evid. And therefore, since it's only acceptable b'di'evid, the Gemara is quite understandable, because l'chatchila, of course, there should be no hefsik between washing and eating. But according to the opinions, that this advice that the Gemara is offering is acceptable l'chatchila, so how do we understand that? So Tosfos offers one teretz. One teretz that Tosfos offers is that this is a special halacha that was given, that even though, yes, if I wash to eat, I have to wash right before I eat, there's a special rule based on this Gemara that the first time I wash in the morning, when I wash Nagelwasser, it should be effective even though I didn't eat right away. Another explanation is sort of a combination. Of course, if I have water, I'm not supposed to rely on this type of stipulation. And therefore, the halacha indeed will be that I can't rely on the Tanai. Here we're speaking about a case where the person knows he won't have the ability to wash all day, and since he won't have the ability to wash all day, so that's why this is acceptable. Another explanation is that why is there a halacha that indeed we have to be careful that when we wash our hands, not to have not to interrupt. So the reason for that, explained the Rishonim, is because we're concerned that in that time, during that interval, I'm going to be not washing my hands. But if we think about the halacha that we are studying now, the whole basis of the halacha that we're studying now is actually teaching us that we have to be washing our hands. So the entire reason that we're not allowed to have interruption is only because of a concern of Hesach Hadas. But when we have the individual whom we are speaking about now, who's an individual who's watching his hands, such a person, we need not be concerned about Hesach Hadas. And therefore, even though he didn't eat immediately afterwards, it's not going to be a problem. Now, the other question, of course, is that if, as we just said, we're speaking about an individual who's watching his hands, so why is there a requirement to make a Tanai? The halacha ought to be that since he washed his hands, that should be enough of a reason that he shouldn't have to wash his hands every time. Why is there a need to make a condition? So from here, many Rishonim suggest that just washing your hands is inadequate. When one washes his hands, he has to have kavana l'achila. And therefore, if you want to rely on the netilas yadayim that you're doing in the morning, the only way you can rely on it is with kavana l'achila, and then it'll work the entire days. Others say the Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh suggests that washing one's hands does not require kavana l'achila. The reason we have to have the Tanai goes back to what we've been discussing throughout our shir. And that is, says the Rav, because the whole purpose of this advice that the Gemara is suggesting is in order to avoid Hesach Hadas. Making the Tanai is the way to that you will not have Hesach Hadas. Furthermore, what happens if I end up in a place where I have water? In other words, in the morning I wash my hands. I was concerned that I will not have water available to me when I want to eat. So I make the Tanai the Gemara suggested. And now when it comes to wash, when it comes to eat, Baruch Hashem, there is food, there is water available to me. So we have a very big question. You're going to say, as we've been saying, so wash your hands. But it's not so simple to say that. Because by saying that one should wash his hands, that means he should make a bracha. But if the halacha is that the Tanai that I made in the morning is effective, and since I made the Tanai in the morning, which is effective, I don't really have to wash my hands every time. So if I'm going to now wash my hands, wouldn't that be considered a situation of a bracha of atalah? And therefore, how could we just suggest wash your hands and don't rely? And because of that question, the Chazon Ish suggests what one should do. If in the morning he washed his hands with the Tanai, and now when he's coming to wash, to eat again, he has water and he wants to wash his hands and wash his hands with a bracha, says the Chazon Ish, what he should do is make his hands dirty. Because as we keep on saying, the Tanai is only effective if you kept your hands clean. And therefore, since if you'll wash your hands, you'll be able to prevent. If you'll make your hands dirty, then everybody will agree that the Tanai is no longer effective. So by washing your hands, you'll make the Tanai ineffective. And therefore, not only will you be able and have to wash your hands, but you'll have to make a bracha because that entire Tanai doesn't work. Furthermore, the Ritva says that if somebody washed his hand for Netilas Yadayim and then he decided not to eat, it's not considered a bracha of atalah. Because when he made the bracha of Netilas Yadayim in the morning, it was very much his intention it was very much his intention to eat the whole day, and therefore the Netilas Yadayim was required and the bracha that he made was required. So therefore the halacha will be that it's not considered a bracha of atalah when you made the bracha under such circumstances, and the halacha is that the halacha will tell us that there's no issue here at all. The interesting question, however, is, and the Paiskim discussed this question, is what happens if you have an individual who knows that he's not going to be able to count all the days of Sfira or the Bracha, but he could start. Is that considered acceptable or not? So from our Gemara, it seems, since when you made the Bracha, you had in mind that you're going to be able to do the bracha properly. Something now comes up that prevents you from doing that. That should not, in any way, cause that you shouldn't make a bracha. And if we're learning our Gemara, however, the Shilas Tshuvas Yogel Yaakov says that the Chidah says that if somebody makes a bracha on the Sfira, and then during the Sfira he loses a day, according to the Chidah, it's considered a bracha l'batalah. But again, as we're learning now, there are many, based on the Ritva our Gemara, that those that suggest it would not be bracha l'batalah, because when you made the bracha properly, what happens afterwards should not make a difference. Another serious discussion that the Aruch HaShulchan has here is somebody followed this Eitzah, this advice that the Gemara just gave us, and made the Tanai and the Bracha in the morning. How long does that work? And the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that it doesn't work past the night, and that if you make the bracha in the morning, it'll only be effective until night. There are other opinions that suggest that it's not dependent on day and night, but rather they suggest it's dependent on when you go to sleep. The bracha you make in the morning will be effective until you go to sleep at night. Once you go to sleep at night, that's when this Tanai that we've been discussing in our shiur expires. That's when the Tanai expires, and you make a new bracha if you're going to wash afterwards. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina, Amalei Rab Avina Lebnei Pascha Daravis. He said to the people that lived in Pascha Daravis, that was a place where water wasn't available. Kigoy Atan, individuals such as you, that you don't have water easily available, what I advise to you is, mash yadayich mitzafra, wash your hands in the morning, vasna laich ul kula yoyma, and then make a tanai that it should be effective for the entire day. Ikadamri, but some suggest, as we mentioned earlier, that this entire advice that the Gemara is suggesting is only effective b'shas hadchak in, where a person is concerned that he won't have water available later. Ah, loy. Ah, shlobish asatchak. But if you live in a place where water is readily available, loy, this tanai will not work. And says the Gemara, pliga the Rav. And that would be in disagreement with what Rav said, because Rav said that it's effective under all circumstances. Vikadamri. Even if it's not an emergency situation, the halacha is you could do this, and Haina de Rav, and that's exactly what Rav said. The reason why this was stated to the people that live in the Pax of the Arvis, explained the Talmid Rebbe Yoina, that just that you are people that don't have water, and everybody else, but you are great people, and what you should do is try to find water. Everybody else who doesn't have water can make this tanai. The halacha is the river is shoinim, paskin like that you can make this tanai, even when it's not a shasatchak, even when it's not a place where there's no water available. But says the Shulchan Aruch and Aruchayim Sim Kuf Samach Dalet Sif Aleph, that even though this is permissible, still, if there's water available, better not to make the tanai. And the reason is that we have, as we've been learning, all these concerns. Number one, there is an opinion that says that it's only permissible when there's no water available. Number two, as we're learning, that it requires that you wash your hands the entire day. And therefore, since you have all of these stipulations, the best is not to rely on this unless it's required. However, I saw that the Rishonim go back and forth somewhat here. On one hand, the Rishonim that suggest that since the mitzvah, and we spoke about it in our previous year, we'll speak about it more, the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim is only midrabanan, so that's why we could take a more lenient approach. There are others that suggest that, as we learned also in our previous year, the story of somebody who didn't wash Netilas Yadayim and what happened because they didn't wash Netilas Yadayim. So that's why it's best to wash Netilas Yadayim, to do it properly and not rely on any leniencies. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Haya Risa de Deloy. There's a pipe that they used to pour water that they collected from the river. One should not just stick his hand into the pipe and use that for washing his hands. The Gemara introduces a new consideration. And the Gemara says that for the Netilas Yadayim, you have to wash with hands that are poured from somewhere else. The Ravid says that really, Mi'ikra din, there is no requirement for Koyach Gavra Netilas Yadayim. But since, says the Ravid, we're going to learn that you have to use a revius for washing your hands. So if you're pouring the water on your hand, so then you can be careful that there won't be a problem of the water of not having a revius. But if it's just being poured on, it's not being poured by a person, the revius might disperse. And since then, we have to be concerned that the revius will be dispersed. So therefore, the way to prevent that is by having the water poured on your hand. The Rav seems to disagree. And it seems that the Rav's opinion is that we learned the halacha of Netilas Yadayim from Kiddush Yadayim Vergleich. And since we learn it from the halacha of Kiddush Yadayim Vergleich, there was a requirement of Koyach Gavra. Here too, there's a requirement of Koyach Gavra. The Beis Yosef quotes the pasuk that the Torah speaks about the mechatis, the water that the paraduma ash was mixed in and sprinkled on the person who's tamei, and the pasuk says v'hiza ator ala tamei. The Bahag says that even though we're learning that you have to have, as we're learning koyach gavra, the halacha is that if one dips his hands, as we spoke in our previous year, immerses his hands, that will be considered that will be considered a valid Tilas Yadayim. Here, what the Gemara is saying, that if you put your hand into the pipe that the water is going through, it's not acceptable because the pipe is not considered a keli. So if it's a mikveh, the halacha will be that a mikveh that you stick your hand into is fine. But if it's not a keli, now we have a new problem. Why can't it be used for the Tilas Yadayim? But says the Gemara, if mikrav l'gabe davla, if somebody puts his hands to the place where the water is coming out when the person is pouring their water into the pipe, so now the water is coming, the ka'asim k'ayach gavra, the water is coming onto my hands from k'ayach gavra, then the loch is not mentally dying. Furthermore, v'bezir b'davla, if the keli that's being used for getting the water from the river to pour it into this pipe has a hole, the Karnis Mashkin. It's a hole that's big enough that water could seep into. If it's a hole that's big enough that water could seep into, then the halacha is melef livi. The water is considered like it's connected to the river, and therefore matbabas yadayim, it becomes a kosher place in which to do Netilas Yadayim. Even though it's considered Mayim Shuvim, that is a problem when you have to have a mikveh for a woman that's Mechuyev and Tefillah Medaraisa. But even if somebody is a Balkeri, the halacha is that a mikveh Mayim Shuvim will be acceptable. So here too it will be acceptable. The Paiskim, as I said, debate. We're learning now, you could sometimes, if there's connected to the pipe, can you rely on it to immerse your hands? And I saw that there's actually machlokes paiskim, how to approach the shaila. Some say it has to have, this pipe has to have 40 saw in it, and some say that it doesn't. Moreover, this is a case of nitzachibur. The flow is what's connecting. And the Pais can say that even though there's a question in other areas of halacha, if nitzik is considered a chibur, or it's not considered a chibur, for Netilas Yadayim, it's going to be good enough. V'amarav klisha nikav b'karnis mashka, as we just learned, a cup that has a hole that's big enough for water to seep into it, is not considered a valid cup, and therefore, a nitlan by dayim. Says the Rosh, that the halacha, that if it has a hole, it becomes disqualified. It's only if the hole is on the bottom of the cup or on the sides of the cup, below the level where the cup can hold a revius. But if the hole is above the side of the keli, that below that hole it can hold a revius, so that's enough to make it into a kosher cup. And the halacha is that it can be used for Netilas Yadayim. Because, as the Beis Yosef explains, that when you have a hole, then it becomes, it's no longer a keli. But once it's larger than that, then the halacha is, once it's above that area, you have already achieved a keli, and once you've achieved a keli, there's no problem. So again, says the Mavam Rav, keli, shein, by revius, ein notlam yadayim. Ask the Gemara, Aini, is this accurate? From Rava Klisha Max Revius, Ein Neutlam Yudayim. If you have a small keli, it's, even though it's not able to hold a Revius, it can't be used for Natilas Yudayim. From here we see it that Revius is the issue. Hamachsik, if it holds a Revius, Avgav Delespe, even though it doesn't have in it a Revius, it's still kosher. Again, Rava says, Klisha in Berevius, if you don't have Revius in your keli, the loch is Einatum in your dime, you can't use it for Natilas Yadayim. But as the one here, we see that the problem is if the keli is not big enough to hold the Revius. But once the keli is big enough to hold the Revius, it doesn't make a difference. Answer the Malacha Lakasha. Ha Lachad, when did Rava say, when did Rava say this halacha is when one person is coming to wash his hands by himself? And if one person is coming to wash his hands by himself, he has to start with a keli that holds a revius. However, when two people are coming to wash their hands, and the first, and the cup started with a revius of water, the second person could take the water that's left over, even though they're less than a revius. Because since you started with a revius, that is good enough. And the Gemara backs this up. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Emsechta Yudayim, May Revius, water that has a Revius, Noitin Ledayim Echad, Vafil Shnayim. Once you began with the amount of water, once you began with the amount of water for two people for that has a Revius, even though now I'm only speaking with one person, even though now two people are using it, the halacha is that it's still going to be considered a valid Natilas Yadayim. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Sheshes Lameima. Kabdisa Amana, are you careful that the cup that you use for Natilas Yadayim should have all the halachas that we're speaking about, primarily the halacha that shouldn't have any hole? Amalei In. Yes, I'm careful to only use a whole cup. Then he asked them, Achazusa, are you careful that the water that you use should look like water? Amalei, to which he said, In, yes, I am careful. Then he asked them, Meshuri, are you careful, as we're learning in our shiur today, that it holds a revius? To which he said, also in Amakvit. So the Ra explains that why it's so important that the water that's used should look like water. So one explanation that it gives goes back to something we said earlier, that by Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, where we learn many of the halachas of Natilas Yadayim, the halacha is that since the Torah says the word Mayim twice, the halacha is it has to have water that looks like water, and therefore here too, it has to look like water. Others, and others explain that we learn from the halacha of Mayim Chayim. And whenever the Torah uses the words Mayim Chayim, it means water that the color is the way it was originally. Ikadamri Hachamalei. I'm one of a Chazusa Kaptinen. Yes, I'm careful that the cup should be whole. Yes, I'm careful that it should look like water. However, Ashurai, on the Revius, like Abdina, that I'm not so careful about. The Tanan, May Revius, Noitlan Yadayim, Echab Afil Shnayim. That I could use a Revius, not just for one person, but a Revius could be used even for two people. But says the Gemara, Noitlan Yadayim, Afil Shnayim, Velohi. Says the Gemara, that's not true. You always need a Revius. But as we said before, the reason, this is fine. Mishum dekasa mishiyar tahara. It comes over from leftover water. Since it comes from left, as we've been learning throughout our shiur, if you start with revius, then it doesn't make a difference if you don't have a revius now. It says the Gemara, asking Rav Yaakov and Arab Koid, Rav Yaakov from the city of Napakoid to use Natla bas Raviyasa, that we should use a cup that holds a Raviyas, asking Ravashi Behutzel, Kuzabas Raviyas, that they had a Klecheris, that loch is, that has a Raviyas, could be used. So our Gemara is teaching us that if, as long as you had a Raviyas at the beginning, it seems that you could use that amount of water. The Ramban and the Rashbah disagrees. And they say that just because we started with a Raviyas water, but currently we don't have a Raviyas water, that is not going to be a good enough reason to wash our hands that way. And he says, when is the Gemara being lenient? The case that our Gemara is being lenient is when one person holds his hands below the first person. The second person holds his hands below the hands of the first person, and all the water pours on his hands. That's when we can be lenient. Amar Rav Megufas Chavis, the cover of a barrel, shetikna, that you made it into a cup, the loch is naitl mena yadayim, can be used for netil yadayim. It also, it's important to point out that certainly Gemara is teaching us that for one person, a cup of Raviyas is good enough, but the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah say that you shouldn't use a cup that exactly has a Raviyas. You should use a cup that has more than a Raviyas. Moreover, he suggests, and other Rishonim suggest this as well, that even though we're being lenient, certainly, as we just learned, that if one person puts his hands below the cup, the hands of the other person, it might be acceptable. Still, the halacha is preferably everybody should wash their hands individually with a cup that holds at least a Raviyas. Tanya Nami Hachi, says the Gemara, there's a braisa that says, Begufas Chavis, the top of a barrel, not many yadayim, can be used for netilas yadayim. Chama ukfisha, which are different types of flasks, the chetiknon, and were made and formed into a cup, and they could stand on their own, they don't need any support. Not many yadayim can be used for netilas yadayim. Sak for kupa, bag or a box, api mekavim, even though that he made them that they should be overhold them arvias, a neitlam yadayim, because they're not considered a keli, and something which is not considered a keli, then the halacha should not be used in the tilas yadayim. So now, of course, this opens up a very important halacha, and that is if somebody's in a place where he doesn't have a washing cup, can he use a disposable cup? Can he use a disposable cup? The Sefer Shraga Meir says that if it's always preferable to use a full-fledged regular cup, but if, and that's what one lechatchila should do, but if one is in a place that he doesn't have such a cup, I saw that the Paiskim suggest, I saw that this was the psak of the Paparov Zatzal and the Shal Sechuvas V'yan Yosef, that as long as it has a good use, then it's going to be considered good enough for Netilas Yadayim. And he quotes the Satin Rebbe. The Satin Rebbe would discuss, can you use a disposable cup for Kiddush? Can you use a disposable cup for Netilas Yadayim? That the Satin Rebbe said, certainly L'chatchila, one should not use it. However, I did see the different Paiskim that have different opinions about what makes a cup chashiv. And that is that if it's sturdy, so if it would be, let's say, a styrofoam cup, there's more room for leniency. I saw others suggest that if it's a cup that can hold both hot water and cold water, then it's something that can be used for netilas yadayim. But if it's a cup that is like a plastic cup that can't be used for hot water, only can be used for only for cold water, one should refrain, if at all possible, from using such a cup for netilas yadayim. There is another significant discussion in the Paiskim. We learned in our shiur today that water that's used for the Tehillat Sadayim has to be water which is clear. In many places, when the water is poured out from the faucet and it goes into a cup, the water is not clear. It's cloudy, and it takes a little while until the water clears up. May one use that type? May one wash his hands immediately with that water, or should l'chatchila one wait until the water clears up? The Miches Yitzchak suggests that l'chatchila one should wait until the water clears up. Continues the Gemara, Ibayu Malach Amapel. What's the halacha if you're going to cover your hands with a towel and you won't be actually touching the food with your hand? Will that be fine, or do we still need Netilas Yadayim? Micha Shirin Dilanaga, must we be concerned that maybe you're going to end up touching the food with your hand? Oiloi, says the Gemara Toshma. The Mishnah says, Kishinosun loyler of Tzadik Oichel Pochna Kabeya, when they gave Rav Tzadik food, bread that was less than a Kabeya, Noitel Bamapa, he would not wash his hands, he would just cover his hands, and Oichel Chutz L'Sukka, and he would eat at Chutz L'Sukka, Eim Avarach Achrof, and furthermore, he wouldn't say Birchas HaMazon, because his opinion was that we don't say Birchas HaMazon unless we ate a Kabeya. And actually, of course, we have to point out that the halacha is that you only make we make Birchas HaMazon even when we eat a kazayis. And moreover, this discussion about Birchas HaMazon, how much do you have to eat to make Birchas HaMazon, is only for bracha achroina. But when we speak about bracha rishoina, no matter how little he eat, it's enough that you have to make a bracha rishoina. Moreover, the Rashi explains, if he ate so little, why did he find it necessary to cover his hands? If Netilas Yadayim was not required, why do you have to cover his hand? So Rashi explains that because he wanted to be careful, as we spoke in our previous year, about Nikias, about cleanliness, so that's why he was careful for that reason to cover his hands. Tysus gives a different explanation. Tysus says that Rebbe Elazar was a person that ate his food ataris truma. And when we speak about how much do you have to eat to do Netilas Yadayim, that's only if you're eating chulin. But if you're eating the chulin ataris truma, then you always have to at least cover your hand. Says the Gemara, my laugh, why are we saying that it was adequate that he covered his hands? Because he ate less than a kabeya. It seems to teach us, hakabeya, were he to eat a beya, then the halacha would be by Netilas Yadayim. He would have to wash his hands, and covering your hand would not be required. So there's a machlokes rishonim, how to approach this Gemara. Some rishonim approach this Gemara that there's no chiv Netilas Yadayim when you're eating less than a kabeya. Other rishonim say, of course, there's always a chiv Netilas Yadayim. But the obligation that Chazal said that you have to wash your hands was relaxed when you're eating less than a kabeya, and washing won't be required, but covering would be required, says the Gemara. Dilma says, well, who says that's the way to learn Pshat and the Braisa? Maybe the Braisa is teaching us that in all situations, if you wrap your hands, you cover your hands, that will be satisfactory. What the Bryce is differentiating between less than a beya and more than a beya is regarding sukkah. The halacha is that if somebody is eating a beya, he has to eat that amount of bread in the sukkah. And by bracha, it's Ramey's opinion, as we mentioned a few moments ago, regarding Birchas HaMazon. For Birchas HaMazon, there you have to eat a kabeya, but it doesn't have anything to do with the Netilas Yadayim. A very interesting question that I saw the Cheshuk Echem discusses. He says that our Gemara is teaching us that if you eat less than a kabeya, you have no obligation to sit in the sukkah. You may sit in the sukkah. And he speaks about people who have gluten-free diets. They're celiacs, and they have gluten-free diets. And therefore, they're not going to eat real bread, but they're going to sit in the sukkah. Will they make a leishiv besukkah? So he quotes Reb Shlomo Zalman. First question Reb Shlomo Zalman addresses, we know that if somebody eats a suda on sukkahs, he has to eat it in the sukkah. But the question is, if somebody's eating such a suda and he has to eat it in the sukkah, is a suda without bread considered a suda? And he says, if that's your suda, particularly for the individual that we are mentioning now, that unfortunately he can't eat bread, so his suda is the foods that he could eat, and therefore he would have to eat it. He would have to eat that suda in the sukkah, and not only would he have to eat the suda in the sukkah, the halacha would be that he makes aleishiv besukkah. The question, of course, also comes up. The question that comes up is that the first night of Sukkot, we have a mitzvah to eat a kezayis, at least a kezayis, some say kebeya, in the sukkah. What is a person who's a celiac supposed to do? So again, here too, he seems to take the approach, that he should eat what is his sukkah, what is his suda, and since he should eat his suda, eating that suda will be a good enough reason to fulfill the mitzvah that night. There's another question that he discusses. He says a person, this individual who we're talking about, Rachman al-Tzlan, the celiac, the gluten-free person, and this person is not comfortable that he's really fulfilling the mitzvah, so maybe he should put himself in a position that he's oisik b'mitzvah, and once he's oisik b'mitzvah, he's doing another mitzvah, he's part of the mitzvah. So let's say he should go take care of somebody in the hospital. And the question now is that considered that he legitimately is not chayiv the mitzvah? Or is oisik b'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah, means that he has an excuse, but it's not that he really did the right thing. And therefore, is it appropriate for him to try to avoid doing the mitzvah? And the Chashukei Chemed says that no matter how we learn pshat in oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, says the Chashukei Chemed, it's certainly a good way, at least certainly b'dievid, to get out of the requirement of sitting in the sukkah. And since it's good enough way of the requirement to getting to not to sit in the sukkah, so the halacha will be that he should do so if that will help him avoid the problem. Says the Gemara, Tashma, let's learn the following story. The Shmuel Ashkechel Rav the Kochav Mappa. Shmuel found Rav that was eating bread wrapped in a towel. And Shmuel's understanding was the reason he was doing this was because he didn't want to have to do the Tilas Yadayim. Amalei Avdi Kedain, is that appropriate to do? Amalei to Rav said to Shmuel, I certainly washed my hands. The reason I wrapped them in a wrap is that the Kutzrelai. I'm an Istanis, I'm very particular, and therefore I wrapped my hands because I don't want to get my hands dirty with the food, but not that Chas v'Shalom, I didn't wash my hands. Says the Markisolik Reb Zeira. When Reb Zeira came from Bavot HaTzisrol, Ashkenazi Rav Amir Vasi, he met Rav Amir Vasi, the Ka'achli Bevloy Chamosis, that they would wrap their hands with leather. Vama, says the Gemara, Trey Gavri Kavasayichu, two great individuals, Litab the Rav Shmuel, that you should make this mistake and think that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim just by wrapping your hand. So they said, Adati Katsur Kama. Rav only allowed us to do this because he washed his hands, but he was concerned because his hands shouldn't get dirty. But not that this could substitute the obligation to wash your hands. Says the Gemara Shtamitzei, Ha'adam Rav Tachlifa Bar Avima Mishmul. Rav Zeira forgot what Rav Tachlifa Bar Avima Mishmul. Hetir Mapa L'Tayr Loich L'Truma. Somebody who's careful to eat truma, for them, we allowed to wrap their hands. Because who are the Oichle Truma? The Oichle Truma are the Kohanim. And we have a rule throughout Shas that Kahanim's Rizamheim. So for them, I know that they're going to wrap their hands and they're going to be careful not to let their hands touch the food. However, for Loyatir Mapaloich Leitaris, people who are Oich Leitaris, for them, it's regular individuals. So by them, I have to be concerned that wrapping will not be success, will be not be good enough. Says the Gemara, Rav Ami Rav Asi, Kahanim Hava, they were Kahanim. And since they were Kahanim and they Oich Leitruma, the halacha is that they didn't have to wrap their hands. But here we have a machlokas rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means to say. Some suggest that when the Gemara is being lenient by Kahanim, who are oichle taharis, the Gemara is not only being lenient when they're eating truma, but the Gemara is being lenient under all circumstances. That's one approach in the rishonim. Because since they're Kahanim, we could be lenient. Other Rishonim don't agree to that. They don't agree that if you're a Kohen, you're absolved from washing your hands. Rather, the way they understand the Gemara is when a Kohen is eating Truma, he doesn't have to wash his hands. But when he's eating Chulin, he's no different than the rest of us. What do I mean to say when he's no different than the rest of us? He will have to wash his hands just like everyone else is obligated to wash their hands. Even though, as we just finished learning, the Gemara takes a strict approach regarding one washing their hands, relying on wrapping their hands in a towel, that you really have to wash your hands. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if there's no water available, then if you're traveling and there's no water available within Arba Milim, or even if you're not, or if you're not traveling, but you're sitting at home and there's no water available for a mil, then the halacha will be you could rely on wrapping, on wash, on covering your hands. Ibailuhu. So now the Gemara asks the question: Oichel Machas Machel. If somebody is eating because somebody else is feeding him, Tzarech Netilas Yadayim Oloi. Is the person who's eating that way required to have Natil Yadayim or not? Toshma, the Rav Huna Baschara have a koi kamedra of Hamnuna. He was standing by Rav Hamnuna. Ubaloloi Omtso. Rav Huna Baschara was in front of Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Huna cut him a piece of meat with bread. The way I saw the Mefarshim explain that he served him a sandwich. Vachol, Rav Hamnuna ate it. Amalei, Rav Huna said to Rav Hamnuna, Ilav de Rav Nuna l'at, if not that you were a great Rav Hamnuna, lo safina l'cha, I wouldn't have fed you this. My tama, lamishem dezov lo noga. Because since he was being fed, that's why, and I know that you're going to be careful, and that's why I did this. So we see from here, presumably, that if somebody is eating without touching the food, somebody else is feeding him, you don't have to wash your hands. Says Maraloi, that's not true. The halacha is that you have to wash your hands. And what happened in that case was, the Zoros Kodam Moshe Yadam Yekara, Rav Hamnuna was careful that he washed his hands before he began to eat. Toshma, Don Rav Zeira Marav, Layitna Adna Prusel Toch Piv Shal Shamish, somebody should not put bread into the mouth of the waiter, Em Ken Shinata Ba Yodov, unless I'm confident that that this waiter washed his hands. B'shamish Mevarach HaKol Kois V'Kois. Furthermore, the halach is that he has to make a bracha for every cup of wine that he receives. And the reason is, because he doesn't know if he's going to get another cup of wine. So therefore, when he makes the bracha on the first cup, since he doesn't know he's getting another cup, he's going to have to make a new bracha. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, that if he has a mind that he's going to be getting certainly more cups of wine, and therefore the first bracha should be effective for them, the halacha is that it's going to be good enough. And the Magen Avraham goes on to say that even if he's not certain that he's going to get more cups of wine, it still will be good enough. The Taz disagrees. The Taz says that when can his having a mind be satisfactory? only in a case where he knows he's going to get more cups of wine, and he has in mind with the bracha on the first cup for all the other cups. But if it's not that way, that he can't rely on that. Says the Gemara, v'varech al kapersa prusa, he doesn't have to make a bracha on every piece of bread that he gets. Why? So the Rosh Hashanah explained, it's more likely that he's going to get bread than he's going to get wine. And therefore, when he makes the bracha on the bread, it works for all the other pieces. V'yachram mevarech al kapersa prusa, since it's not certain, then he has to make a new bracha. Amar Papa Bishlam the Rav Rabbi Yochanan Loikasha. The Gemara explains that there's no machlok between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. The Loikasha, ha Dik Adam Chashiv. Rav's opinion that you don't make a new bracha is when there's an important person sitting at the table, and therefore he's confident that this important person will be thinking about him and will make sure that he should get more than one cup. Ha the like Adam Chashiv, and that's why the waiter is not confident. However, become makoim, wherever we're speaking about, hakamer elm ken shiyadu shenat l'yadav, that even though I'm feeding him, the halacha still requires that he has to make a separate, he has to wash his hands. Clearly an indication that you can't rely on the fact that he's being fed. Answers the Gemara, it's not a raya. Shani sham is the tarid. Since the shamus is so busy serving the meal, we have to be concerned, will forget himself and serve people food, touch the food bread without washing. Other people don't have that preoccupation. Tanar baran lo yitin adam prusul shamish. A person should not give some bread to the waiter. Ben kshoyis biyoda, ben kshoyis biyoda shebel abayis. Whether he's holding a cup of wine, whether the host is holding a cup of wine. Shema yeredavik akol besuda, because we're concerned that the wine will spill, because he'll see that there's a concern that the wine will spill, and somebody will see that, and he's going to get upset while he's drinking, and it causes him to choke. So we should be careful not to create a situation where somebody can end up in danger. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'shamash loynot l'yodov, osolitim prus l'takpiv, the waiter has to wash his hands by himself, otherwise you can't just feed him. Ibailu, machel. So now we spoke, and we came clarity, that the person who is being fed still has to wash netil shadayim. What's the halacha about the person who's doing the feeding? Tzarch netil shadayim and tzarch. Toshma, the Tanit Bei Menashe, Rishim Gamil Oimer, Isha Medichas Yoda Echas B'mayim, a woman could rinse one hand when the son is passed to B'nai Cotton, and when she's going to be feeding her son, that on Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to wash our hands. She could wash one hand in order to feed her child bread. He was machmer. He didn't want to wash even one hand on Yom Kippur for this purpose. And because he took this inappropriate, strict approach, you want to be strict in an inappropriate way, now you're going to wash both hands. There it wasn't because of Natil Shadayim. There was Mishum Shifta. The question here was Negelvas that we started the shiur with today. And if they're not going to wash, we're concerned that the food would, so to speak, become contaminated. Tashma Davud Shmuel Ashkel Shmuel Kabachi. He met Shmuel that was crying. Amalei Maikabechs, why are you crying? Says the Gemara, the Machian Rabbi, because my Rebbe hit me. And he asked him, "Am I? Why did that happen?" So Shmuel said that I served my son bread, and you did not wash your hand. Why didn't you wash your hand? He's eating, and I have to wash my hand. The person who hit you didn't know the halacha that he's going to hit you, because he made a mistake, that you have to wash your hands, and now he even hits you based on his mistake. However, says the Gemara Hilchasa, Oichel Machmas Machel, if somebody else is feeding me, I have to wash my hands. Machel, if somebody's feeding me, and it's Tzarech Nalas Yudav, I don't have to wash my hands. Says the Mishnah Tzara, Oda Basa Gvina B'Matachas Achas, you could put meat and cheese in one package, as long as you care for that they don't touch. If Shimon Gamliel Aimer, two guests, eat on one table, zeh basar, zeh gevina, one will eat meat and one will eat dairy, and then choshen, they don't have to be worried. Says the Maravachi, zeh bezeh may have it. Mishnah spoke about two meat and dairy in one package. So what's the problem? Tzayin b'tzayin hu. Ask the Gemara, they're both cold. So why should that be a problem? Ask the Gemara, and neither klip lebayi. Indeed, there's no concern that there's going to be a blia. How about dochem lebayi? You have to wash them, and you may forget to wash them. Shimon Gamliel, Mishnech, Soim, Echlan, Shulachan. Two guests could eat on the same table, one meat and one dairy. To which the Gemara comments, Amar Avchana bar Shmu, Barami Am Shmu, Lo Shana Al Shei Makim Zeze, that they don't have any relationship. They're strangers. Al Makim Zeze, Osir, maybe one's going to eat from the other. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hakar, Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Shneich Snoim, Shinsach Lepundik, two guests in one place, Ze Bamina Tzofim, Ze Bamina Dorim, one is coming from the south, one's coming from the north, Ze one comes with a piece of meat. One comes with cheese. One meat and one dairy. Since each one of them doesn't know the other one, no problem. The only time Chazal were makbid is with tfisa achas when they're eating together. Ask them at tfisa achas. Of course, how could it be that they're eating together meat and dairy? Okay, tfisa achas, that if they're eating on one tablecloth with nothing to be a hecker to separate them, then we have a problem. Says Amalei Rav Yemir Bashamil Abaya, Shnei Achim Abinim Zelzeh, if you have two brothers that don't get along, Mahu. Amalei, says the Gemara, Yemir Kol Asurika Masurim Asurika Baisis Matarim, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to make a mold out of the matzah should not be made into a mold. And the reason the matzah is not allowed to be made into a mold, because that delays the making of matzah, and it can become chametz. But there was a baker who was an expert baker, and he knew how to make a mold without any delay, or he had prepared molds. So the question is, are they allowed to make matzah into mold? And the answer is, of course not, because we can't differentiate. Here too, once we say that brothers, who normally, of course, hopefully get along, should not eat together, that remains always. L'tamech, ask mar hodam arasi am rabbi yoichrad, mishay lel chaluk echad, muta l'chapsum chal shamayid. One is not allowed to wash laundry chalamayid. But somebody has only one garment, he may. So again, why should we not be concerned? Yoimru, kol sirik masurim sirik abayis matarim. Just like we can make different rules, here too we should say that nobody is allowed to wash the laundry. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, Hama Mabravashi, Azur Machichalov. In those days, a person would have one belt for many garments. And if he was changing garments, he would take the belt and put it on the other garment. But if you only have one garment, you're going to wash your belt because you don't need it, because you don't have another garment. So the fact that you're washing your garment with a belt is an indication that you only have one garment. Now that there's an indication to all that you have only one garment, that's why Allah is lenient in letting you, under those circumstances, wash the garment on Chol Moed.